Thank you, Brother Javon. Glad you put that back up there. That's not the key to unlocking your blessings for sure. I'm not going to ask for any donations. Hallelujah. I might need Brother Jason to shake up that mouse a little bit over there because I think the computer also needs a Sabbath rest every now and then. Look like it might fall asleep on us. Let's bow our hearts and our minds to Almighty Yahweh and ask for His blessing. Almighty Yahweh, we give You thanks once again for allowing us to come together, for allowing us the freedom to come together. We know that later on down the road, this might not be possible. Let us cherish these moments, the opportunities that we have. Almighty Yahweh, You're looking for people that are willing to make a commitment, Almighty Yahweh, and hold to these things. Once again, we're all at different levels. We're still learning, Almighty Yahweh. Keep us humble, keep us pliable, and help us, Almighty Yahweh, to do our best when we strive to serve You. In the right spirit also, Yahweh, have compassion and mercy on us, Almighty Yahweh, for we fail You in many ways. We ask blessings for the brethren on the prayer list. We ask that the internet might work, Almighty Yahweh, when it be Your will, Almighty Yahweh. We know that sometimes the things that man creates, Almighty Yahweh, they always break down. But we know that You're perfect and Yahshua's perfect and we strive to follow You. We ask that You motivate us, Almighty Yahweh, encourage us, that we might continue in this fight and that we might bring many others into the fold by our examples, Almighty Yahweh. Once again, we ask for a blessing on this Sabbath and on the message and on the listening. And we thank You so much for Your son Yahshua and for all that he does. And we thank You for all that You do, Almighty Yahweh. And we ask these things in Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Once again, happy Sabbath. I'd like to welcome all our visitors, some I didn't get a chance to meet, but it motivates me to see you all here. We have a good group here, and was snowing a little bit outside. It stopped now, but I'm going to work that into the message a little bit later, too. Hallelujah. The key to unlocking your blessings, I really don't know how I come to this, but I know that a lot of us, we fail Almighty Yahweh. And I'll just start out. I will not waste your time because Yahweh is not in the business of wasting time. As one brother likes to say, He is an on-time Elohim. How many times has Yahweh come through in the clutch for you and your family? Hallelujah for that. And it's very simple, and it was preached right from the start. Obedience is the key that unlocks your blessings. Plain and simple. Some would probably say, okay, we can all go home now. Thank you. But if such is the case, then that's the problem. Some people understand the Torah, but what bothers them is the part about following it. They heard the Ten Commandments, but they can't say they truly comprehend them if they're not putting them into practice. If you go through the intro, the 10-minute intro, you'll notice there that quote from Martin Luther. He says there that the church likes to brag about how they did away with the Sabbath. Think about that. So you know that the Ten Commandments, you know that the Sabbath is there. But you have a problem with that day because, see, that goes against your doctrine. So there it is. Now we have slaughter offerings of praise. I have some scriptures up here. For those that take notes, it'll be easier for you to write them down. I don't have them all posted up here, so I'll give you some time. And some of these actually, I'm glad that I was able to memorize them. I mean, because we just heard them over and over and over and over again. 1 Samuel 15:22. You remember Saul right after he was chosen king. It seems like in the scriptures, right after Saul was chosen king, it seems like right after that is when he made his mistake. One of the biggest mistakes that he made. So, do we actually think we obey Yahweh while deliberately breaking the Torah commandments? We have to be realistic. with ourselves, because we can't fool Yahweh. Our rules and regulations for our benefit. For instance, let's say you're walking down the street and I go through the stop sign. Was that for your benefit or mine? Maybe I'm in a rush. Bad things happen. Does Yahshua say that if we obey Yahweh, that his Father will honor us? Doesn't Yahshua say this in the New Testament? What an amazing thought. He says, if you obey Yahweh, Yahweh will honor you. Just imagine that. Does a foolish or brutish man really comprehend how the Spirit of Yahweh works in a person's life when a person makes up their mind to follow Almighty Yahweh? Think about our old friends when we decided to follow Yahweh. Think about how some of them looked at us. Some of them still have respect for us, but think about how some of them quickly wanted to run the other way. They say we're weird. So 1 Samuel 15:22, if you're there, it says, and Samuel said, had Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Yahweh. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, to understand things when you heard them, than the fat of rams. Why did Samuel say this to the king? Well, because the king had ideas. You know, Yahweh gave him a command and he went ahead and he did things his way. He says, you know, I'm going to take the best of these animals and we'll offer them to Yahweh. He should be happy. No, he wasn't happy. So there was his first mistake and the kingdom went downhill from there. So sacrificial offerings are still in effect. Believe it or not. Don't throw a shoe at me now. They're just not animals that are being offered. Just like we sang these songs here, Brother Randy did a message there at Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, when we sing to Yahweh, we obey. Because that's what Yahweh wants. He wants us to praise his name, because we can't see him. We could never see him in our sinful state. Then you move on to Psalms 51:16. We should all know this psalm by heart. Maybe not all the verses by heart, but Psalm 51 and verse 16. This is King David. Just like King Saul, he made some tragic mistakes that after he made them, he went downhill along with the kingdom. But Yahweh had mercy on him and his son and his lineage, as a matter of fact, and the tribe altogether. Psalm 51, verse 16. It says, for thou desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O Elohim, thou wilt not despise. So when the brethren came to Feast of Tabernacles and they decided that they were going to make a covenant with Almighty Yahweh, this is what that's talking about. They repented of their sins, whatever they did. They said, you know what? We're tired of this old life. We want to start new. Yahweh gives you a chance to start fresh, brand new. Yahweh will not despise that offering. You offer your body as a living sacrifice to Almighty Yahweh. And just like the brethren there in Green Bay, they're offering of their time to help others to come into the fold. That is a sacrifice. Almighty Yahweh is not going to turn that, you know, into a curse. He's going to turn that into a blessing. Also, Jeremiah 7, 21 to 23. Jeremiah 7. Here we have Judah, and Jeremiah had to prophesy to them, which was pretty hard on him, considering, you know, they were his people. And Yahweh was so upset with the people, he told Jeremiah, do not pray for these people. Just imagine if he told us that, not to pray for this nation. Jeremiah 7:21 through 23, it says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. And I will be your Elohim, and ye shall be my people, and ye shall walk, and walk ye in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Hallelujah. So they knew about the story of Moses. They knew about the people coming out of Egypt. They knew about the miracles in the time of Judges. But they weren't doing the right thing here. They were coming to Yahweh's temple, desecrating it, and doing like some are doing in our time, saying they have the freedom and the liberty to commit sins worthy of death, and that Yahweh is going to bless them. So Yahweh doesn't really care too much for us killing innocent animals. Yahweh cares about us obeying what he said, obeying what he told us. Think about it. I always like to use these analogies, you know, with the parents and the children, because, you know, there were times that I was very disobedient. My fathers, you know, they let me slide sometimes, but sometimes, you know, they weren't so nice. So you think about it here. Let's say you tell your children to behave and to do their chores and so on, and they bring you gifts. Now, you know, you're going to say, oh, that's so nice. But really what I want is for you to obey. I want you to put these things into practice so that you can learn, because later on you're going to be a parent and you're going to go through the same things. All right? So that's how we learn our patience. So these three passages confirm that Yahweh wants and requires obedience. And as we discussed in the Bible study, we see that sometimes prosperity is not the best thing. But, you know, not having enough is also sometimes a bad thing for us. But Yahweh wants obedience. That's what he wanted from the Israelites. And sometimes that's why he prospers you, so that you can obey him more. Or sometimes he will test you to see if you're willing to share your blessings with others. We never know how Yahweh is going to test us. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes we don't know. That's why we go through tribulations and we rack our brain wondering, was it because of something bad that I did, or what happened? I didn't do anything bad. Bad things are happening to me. Well, the prophets were scratching their heads, asking themselves, what did I do? Whose fault was it? Hallelujah. So we must build our spiritual house on the rock. Not the wrestler. All right. Yahshua is the foundation of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, better known as the Tanakh. The prophets would be the Nevi'im, and the writings would be the Ketubim. That's where we get Tanakh from. He is also the mediator of the better covenant. We talk about old and new. We can say that we had a covenant which it wasn't so great for us. Why? Because it only covered. You know, kind of like you're cleaning something in your home. You just cover it up, you know. You didn't really get rid of all the dirt. You just cover it up. So that's what the one covenant did. It just covered our sins. It didn't really do away with them. It didn't make Yahweh forget about them. Every year we come on atonement. Remember what you did last year? You see? So over and over. So Yahshua is the mediator of a better covenant. Why better? Because He cleanses you from all sins, the scripture says. We commit a sin, we humble ourselves, he cleanses us. And he also said, on this rock I will build my congregation. When he said that, he was referring to himself. He wasn't referring to Peter. Because Peter is a man like us. Peter made mistakes like us. Yahshua didn't make any mistakes, even though some people think he did. You know, how could he choose these unlearned men? He had a purpose. He knew what he was doing. He knew that those men were humble, even though they were unlearned. So he also was the rock that followed the Israelites in the wilderness. So the Israelites, you know, they had an idea about who Yahshua was, but they couldn't truly comprehend it. Why? Because they were lacking in faith. If they had the faith that was necessary, they would have known who was in their midst. And they would have known why they had to go through some of those trials and tribulations. It was a lesson. I have here 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11. Some of these you can write them down. look them up later. I also have Hebrews 5 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. You can also, sometimes we learn better by listening. According to the grace of Elohim, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Yahshua Messiah. So there it is. We can't get around it. He's the foundation. He's the reason why the Torah was written. He is all over the Torah, contrary to some who, there's a brother who used to be a brother who come in here and he wants to see Yahshua the Messiah and Zechariah. Well, if you would humble yourself, you would see him all over the Torah and the prophets. You would see him in the Psalms very plainly. He's not hiding himself. You know, you don't need to go and get a degree to learn that Yahshua is in the Torah. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. This is a very powerful verse considering Yahshua really didn't even have to come to this earth, but he did voluntarily because of his love for Yahweh's people, because of his love for Yahweh, his Father. Yahweh posed the question, you know, who's going to go for my people? Nobody else could volunteer. So he did. Hebrews 5, verse 8, it reads, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. When you look at Yahshua's life, you say, wow. I mean, would we have the heart to do something like that? Having a stature that he did, having the stature that he did, being right there at the right hand of Almighty Father Yahweh and giving it all up for a people that are full of sins, for a people that never learn, for a people that give up on Yahweh. Think about it. Would we have done that? I don't know. Some of us, I mean, Yahweh knows our hearts. He knows why we wouldn't have, you know, the motivation to do it. I got a lot of pictures here, and you're going to see, you know, sun, moon, and stars, and different things here, but they all have a purpose. We'll see about that later now. The vanity of man is his downfall. We also discussed this in the Bible study. The vanity of man, think about it. Even the greatest man, consider King David, Solomon. Scripture says if you weigh them on a scale, you know, they're lighter than a vapor. That's how great we are. That's how great we think we are. When without Yahweh, we are nothing. Pitiful. Some people hold to the idea that the Son of Yahweh had to obey. But they're so special that they don't have to. Think about that. Digest that. Yahshua had to obey, but I'm special. I don't have to. That's saying a lot. Think about it. When without Yahweh, you're nothing. We said it here many times. People need to open the scriptures and read them. And when you don't understand what you read, pray for Yahweh to guide your comprehension. It's just that simple. I read a scripture there in Revelation. I don't understand it. What am I going to do? Pray to Yahweh. You read a scripture in Daniel, you didn't understand it? Pray to Yahweh. And if it doesn't come right away, then it's not Yahweh's will. Just keep on trying to do his will is, you know, the basic message. Now, I just happened to see some men digging the other day. They were digging a hole in the ground and they had a machine that spins into the ground. I don't know what you call that machine. So usually I just keep my mouth shut, keep walking. But this time, you know, I went over, I said, you know, what are y'all doing? So he said, we're conducting a test to make sure that the ground is good enough for construction. Ah, that makes sense. So they're planning on building a hotel. So they have to make sure that the ground is fit. You can't just go and build on any old ground. So Yahweh, he conducts his own tests when he calls people. Think about it. We also spoke about forcing people to obey. Rather than force us to obey, he asks the son who he thinks would make a good team player, better yet, a member of the body. So this is all teamwork. You know, they don't just get up one day and say, oh, you just go pick these guys over here. You know, sometimes when we play a game, we, you know, try to pick the best people, you know, for our team, you know. And some people that are not so great at playing, they feel left out. Like, oh, you know, nobody chose me, you know. That's not good. And so Yahweh does this. You know, he's conducting a test because he wants to make sure. Okay, you know, who's going to join the team? Who's going to join the body? Well, let me ask Yahshua. And so he does. I have Psalm 7, verse 9. Psalm 7, verse 9. And then we can stay in Psalm there and go over to 26 after that. If you want to follow along or just write them down. I'll read Psalm 7 and verse 9. It reads there, "O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous Elohim trieth the hearts and the reins." You know, those things that are buried deep inside us. That's what it says here. Yahweh tries the hearts and the reins. He uses that machine, you know, to make sure that the ground is good. Before you repent and get a portion of the Holy Spirit, the elders want to know that you repented. Because Yahshua said you can't put the Holy Spirit in an old vessel. It has to be new. You have to be made new. That's why you get baptized first. Even though sometimes people did get the Holy Spirit before they got baptized, you know, those were special instances. You know, these are instances, exceptions Yahweh makes to motivate us. Okay, so just because we didn't get it that way doesn't mean that we can't do Yahweh's work. Hallelujah. Psalm 26, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 26, verses 1 through 5, a psalm of David. "Judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Yahweh, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked." See, this is the reason why when we started reading 1 Kings, King David was on his way out, and King Solomon was on his way in. Since King David made a vow that he wouldn't touch certain men's hairs, he said, "Well, you sinned. I'm not going to do anything, but you know what? My son is going to take care of you." That's why Solomon was the one that went out and, you know, did justice to some of these men. Why? Because they sinned. And since King David made a covenant, he held to it. But you see how Yahweh's vengeance, you know, it comes down on us. If not now, it'll come down later on us. Just give Yahweh time, but don't test him. So he's going to work on our behalf, and certain situations we have we can't control, he's going to work on those in his time. Also in Revelations 2:23, this is in reference to Jezebel. We read there in Revelations 2, verse 23, it says, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the assemblies shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." According to your works. So if obedience is not necessary, how is Yahweh going to pay you according to your works? You say, "I haven't done anything." Well, how do you expect the reward if you haven't done anything? Think about it. We have to think logically. Yahweh gave us logic. We have to use them when we look at the scriptures. How is Yahweh going to pay you according to your works if you haven't done anything? If you haven't done anything for his kingdom? For instance, an atheist. How is an atheist going to expect to get into the kingdom? He hasn't done anything to prove that he believes in Yahshua. He hasn't humbled himself. What Yahweh wants, he wants us to seek his face. That's what he wants. So, a couple of more questions here. You know, sometimes a teacher has more questions than answers, all right? And that's also great. So, how do you comprehend obedience? When people read the Torah and they try to come to Yahshua and butter him up, he said, okay, in Deuteronomy 6 it says this. How do you understand that? Tell me. I want to know how you understand that. He's not forcing you to do or believe any way. He's asking you, how do you understand that? Did you read it? Yes, okay. How do you understand it? Now, put yourself in place of a king. You have a vault full of blessings. Do you give them to your humble and obedient servants? Or to those that the scriptures say begin to get drunk and get out of line as soon as the master is gone? Think about it. Who do you give your blessings to? For instance, you know, a son wants to get married, you know. The parents either give them the blessing or they don't. If they don't give them the blessing, then why is it? Well, maybe because they feel it's not the best choice. Maybe because they feel, well, okay, you know, this person's going to join our family. When you get baptized, you join Yahweh's family. Okay, and that's how you either get the blessing or you don't. And there's nothing wrong at all with waiting for marriage or to get baptized. Either way, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Many times we have to do our homework. So if you turn over to Matthew chapter 24, we can read a little bit more about this. Matthew chapter 24. I have a couple others here that we can go through. Matthew 24 and verses 45 to 21. You know, some of these are parables, but a lot of these, it's a blessing that Yahweh opened up our eyes that we could understand them, because Yahshua gave some of these and purposely some don't understand them. That's exactly what he wanted. When some people don't understand his parables, in certain instances, it's because that's how he wanted it. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 45 to 41, it says, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say to you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delays his coming and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you think this doesn't apply to you and I? This applies to you and I, because the scripture says to occupy until he comes. If we start fooling around and not taking care of Yahweh's business and Yahshua comes, what's going to happen? It says here, Yahweh's elders are taking care of the flock. They're taking care of the assembly. When Yahshua comes, do you think he's going to reward them or not? Especially those that are working overtime to take care of the flock. They have to deal with a lot of things. So ask yourself this. Do I want to obey? That is number one question. If you do want to obey, then what is the reason? Is it out of love? Is it out of fear? Think about it. Only we could answer this to Almighty Yahweh. Why do we want to obey Yahweh? He knows our hearts. Now, the children at the Feast of Tabernacles during the puppet show, they received candy. But to be honest, they did sit patiently and obediently. Okay? Now, how many of those great stories about the king and Haman do we remember? It was quite a bit of skits there. Haman wanted to be blessed. But he was mad at Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to a mortal man. You see? He wanted to put himself in Yahweh's chair. He said, how come this guy over here, you know what I mean, won't bow down to me? What's wrong with him? Everybody else does. You see? Mordecai knew that something wasn't right. So he said, I'm not going to bow down to this guy here. I know who Yahweh is. I know my place. And that was Haman's downfall. You see, he cooked up a scheme, you know. And there's people out there, they're cooking up their schemes right now to eliminate people like that. But Yahweh can't let that happen, you see. You see, because Yahweh made a covenant. He made it with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. He made it with Noah. He made it with King David. And he's gonna honor that covenant. Even after all of us are gone, he's still going to honor that covenant. So if Israel is, you know, the apple of Yahweh's eye, he's not going to let this guy or that guy, you know, it doesn't matter if you have nuclear weapons. Come on, you know, you think you're going to destroy Yahweh's people? And so that's a story there for us to remember, to be motivated, you know, to do the right thing. And sometimes as a queen, I like to call her Hadassah, she's known as Esther, how many times did you disobey the human king in order to obey Almighty Yahweh? There's even a Christian co-worker. He says, you know what? I'm not going to get that healthcare nonsense. I'll just pay the fine, whatever. That's just how he feels. You know, he's convicted. He doesn't have to go along with that. Now, he has for his family. He says, you know, I'll take care of my family, but myself, it's not necessary. So we read there in Esther 4 and 16. Esther 4 and 16. Esther 4 and 16, it says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat or drink 3 days, night or day, 24 hours. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So you can't just go up to President Obama and say, hey, I want to talk to you. That's not the way it's done. You have to make an appointment, you know, and he'll decide whether he wants to see you. So it's the same thing here. That's where we get that idea. That's where, in the scriptures, that's where you get the idea of the president or the kings having bodyguards around them. You get that also from the scriptures. Nothing new under the sun. So she disobeyed the king, which was also her husband. She said, you know what? This is a life and death situation, not just for her, not just for Mordecai, but for all the Jewish people, for one whole tribe. Here the queen was asking Mordecai to obey her. Think about it. And to do her a favor, as they were in distress concerning the destruction of the tribe of Judah, she was willing to disobey the Persian king in order to save many. Now, we're not telling you to go and all out, you know, be disobedient to the government. This is just a certain situation where, you know, Yahweh's Torah, Yahweh's law is above any government on this earth. You know, Yahweh set it up. He designed it. And sometimes just happens like that. Yahshua submitted himself to torture to save those who would serve Yahweh willingly. And even those that are his enemy. He submitted himself to torture for you and I. That's obedience to Yahweh. That's why they call him the Lamb, because at that time he came innocently. But the next time he's coming like a lion, like a roaring lion. People are going to wonder, well, you know, what would happen? I thought you were going to be all nice and sweet and love everybody. Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, they took a great risk and they disobeyed the Babylonian king in order to serve Yahweh. Same situation. These Others came. They were scheming. They saw Daniel. They saw the three Hebrews. They were jealous of them. They said, you know, these guys, they're not even obeying the king and they're so blessed. What's going on here? You see, and then that scheme came back on them. It backfired. Moses and even the Hebrew midwives disobeyed the Egyptian king in order to serve Yahweh. It says there that Moses, he could have been, you know, next in line to be king of Egypt, but he said, no, I'm going to go and humble myself and go with my people. Because he saw, you know, he had faith, you know, he saw something down the line. You know, it doesn't explain it all to us there, but it says that in Hebrews 11, they saw the land that Yahweh was bringing. They saw the kingdom from afar. And they knew that they had to obey Yahweh to get into that kingdom. Over in Acts 5:29, here is a scripture that will summarize what I'm saying in more ways than one. In Acts 5:29, and some of us, you know, we have this scripture memorized. If not, you can highlight that. You know, this is a real good scripture. You know that, you got to be honest, Peter was a wimp when he first began. Peter was a wimp. He wimped out. But once he got that power coming on high from Yahweh, he was, you know, a step behind Paul, but he was up there with him, you know. I mean, 3,000 souls never repented when Paul preached. I never read of that. So Acts 5:29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than man. He's backing up all these other scriptures. He's backing up Queen Hadassah or Queen Esther. He's backing up Moses. He's backing up Daniel. They obeyed Yahweh rather than men. And they still found favor with Yahweh. They didn't do it, you know, where they, you know, made a riot or anything like that. They just went about their business humbly because they knew the three Hebrew friends. They said, you know, even if Yahweh doesn't save us, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow down to you. Sorry. That's just how they felt. You know, that's the faith that they had. So now, don't go and get anti-government and curse out your local representative. Okay? All scripture is inspired, but it must be taken in its proper context. That's another thing that we talked at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I think we need to continue. Obedience, context is everything. It's not things that you see. Sometimes you see things, you don't have the whole story, you know, you make up your mind about things, you know, oh, did you hear, you know, or did you see, you know, and we don't have the whole story. Like Joseph, you know, Joseph got trapped there, you know, they didn't see what happened. Nobody saw what happened. God takes his wife, word for it. And Joseph still came out blessed. I mean, how you explain this? Come on. You send the guy to jail and he comes out even better. I mean, the guard says, just watch everything here for me. How did you explain these things? It's called obedience to Yahweh. It's very simple. And it's one thing that a lot of us fail at. That's why we have to go to Yahshua. Go to Yahshua, our lawyer, free of charge, free consultation. Think about it. No commercials on TV. You don't hear no commercials. Now, we know we're in the end times when evil is called good. And when those who stand on the principles of the scriptures are now facing prosecution. We can read about it in the news. In this here, this so-called great country, we get persecuted, sent to jail. For standing on the scriptures. Hallelujah. Think about it. If you carry yourself a certain way, you're going to come out the better. Because look at what happened to Joseph again. Look at what happened to Paul. They sent him to jail. He's there singing, rejoicing. You know, Yahweh sends his messenger. Even prison bars can't hold a man. And over in the east, you know, some are being killed. For professing their belief in the scriptures. And they're not even basically keeping the 7-day Sabbath. Imagine that. Imagine if they were. Blessed be Yahweh that this means Yahshua is closer to his arrival. Every Sabbath that we keep. Every day that Yahweh gives us. Hallelujah. You know, as one brother put it, he said to me, it is so wonderful to know that Yahweh is faithful and just, and that we can build our hope and confidence on His promises. Imagine that. The things that He promised, we can build on that. Didn't He promise to bless the 12 tribes? Didn't He promise to send Yahshua? Didn't He promise to raise Him from the dead? That's where we have our hope. When Paul was discussing between the Sadducees and Pharisees, what did he hang his hat on? The resurrection. That's where he got them. You see? Some, they couldn't dispute that. Even his teacher, Gamaliel, agreed with him. He says, you know what? If these men are for Yahweh, you're not going to stop it. And so it is to our day. That's why we're continuing in the work. Over in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, it's kind of interesting how the last book is giving us the good and the bad about these assemblies, giving us a picture into human nature in the assemblies. Revelation 3, 17 to 19, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He doesn't say, be zealous, therefore, and do whatever you like. He doesn't say, be zealous, therefore, and do whatever you think is right in your eyes. Nope. Says, as many as I love, I rebuke. He corrects. He chastens. You know, He gives us a couple of whippings here and there to straighten us out. You know, just like our fathers did. Okay? And also a couple more scriptures, Revelation 16, if you go to Revelation 16 and verse 15. This is Yahshua revealing to John what Yahweh gave to him. This is what He told him to tell us. It says, pattern yourself after this good assembly and learn from this assembly that's not doing so good. Revelation 16:15, it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Doesn't that remind you of Matthew 24? The guy fell asleep, you know, or he just started doing whatever. He didn't think his master was coming, and he came. He wasn't ready. That's one message that the scriptures are telling us. Make yourself ready. Make yourself ready for Yahshua's coming, so you might be one of the chosen. You don't get left behind. Also in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, Hebrews 12 and verse 9, Hebrews 12 and verse 9, it reads, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, we gave them respect, we gave them honor. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, they corrected us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. That's the purpose of Yahweh's correction. The purpose of Yahweh's correction is to bring forth good fruit, to bring forth obedient children. That is why you correct your children. You don't correct your children, you know, out of anger because you hate them. You want them to learn from their mistakes so that they don't go out there in the world and commit a mistake that might cost them, because you love them, but the world might not necessarily correct them the way that you do. They might not do it in love. They might not explain to them why they're correcting them. And sometimes people are harsh with us, you know, when they, especially when they disagree with what we're teaching. So nobody's forcing anyone to do anything, which is one thing I like to say. Everybody comes to Yahweh willingly. People that love Yahweh, they love His Torah, they love His commandments. They strive to keep their commandments, to keep the commandments of Yahweh. They don't teach others not to obey. That goes against Torah. So, you and I may build relationships, and we may build alliances with men. Ultimately, though, we follow two beings which are in heaven and who are perfect. That's who we're after. That's who we're chasing. That's who David, King David, that's who he was chasing all along. He wasn't following any man. He was following after Yahweh. He loved Yahweh. How many times do we read in the Psalms, he cried out, he poured his heart out to Almighty Yahweh. He says sometimes, I was so torn, I forgot to eat. I couldn't eat. That's how sad he was. He fasted, he prayed. The apostle called Paul said to follow him as he followed Yahshua, but in actuality, our adoration is to Almighty Yahweh. So even though he told the brethren there, you know, follow me, they weren't actually following a man because Paul was following Yahshua. If Paul would make a mistake and not follow Yahshua, well, they're not going to imitate that. Before I end this, I actually got a chance to take some notes at the Feast of Tabernacles for one sermon. And I want to share some of these with you, which I think they will agree with this here. Concerning obedience and disobedience. If you don't observe tabernacles, you will be cursed with no rain in the kingdom. If you don't observe it now, I mean, you're surely not going to get blessed, that's for sure. In Revelation, we read that some will be beheaded for believing the truth. Somebody might ask, do you believe the Bible? Yes. There it is. Off with your head. Just because of that. Some don't like to hear the truth. We find that in 2 Timothy. They wouldn't like to hear a sermon like this. No. They want to hear another kind of sermon that is soft. No truth. A lot of you know, stories. You know, a lot of circus acts, you know. Over in Romans 12, when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, that's our reasonable worship. That's the very basic. In Hebrews 11, all the forefathers in Hebrews 11 have faith, but they also suffered like we do. It's not all fun and games. A lot of trials. Think of those trials as Yahweh tapping you on the shoulder and saying, do you trust me? Do you think I can actually deliver you from these trials? Think about it. Sometimes that's what it is. When you went to school and the teacher gave you a test, it wasn't to make fun of you if you failed. It was actually to see if you picked up on what she was teaching you. Because if you didn't, she's the one that feels bad. You mean I wasted all this time teaching and you never learned a thing and you never asked a question? Why not? Because I'm shy. You know? Sometimes one time a teacher gave us a question with all the wrong answers on purpose just to see if we would go and question her. And when we didn't go question her, she got upset. She says, you knew that you didn't have the right answer, and you didn't even come and ask me, and I did it on purpose. If you're in a project, somebody gives you a question and gives you options, and none of them are right, you're not going to ask? Yahweh, you know, you go to Yahweh, okay, I want to get baptized, in whose name? I don't know any name, just pick one. No, he gives you the name there, it's in the scriptures, Yahshua, Acts 4:12. If you haven't come to the understanding, nobody's upset at you because of that. It's about praying for comprehension. Yahweh, I don't understand that scripture. Can you help me? If not now, then maybe later. In Isaiah chapter 4, it says there that Yahweh will provide protection. Are you scared that in the end times you might, you don't have to die for this faith? Yahweh is going to protect you. In Deuteronomy 8, Yahweh wants us to be without some things to test us. How come I don't have everything? Maybe because if you did, you wouldn't give praise to Yahweh. It's that simple. How come I don't have that? Think about it. It says there in Deuteronomy 8, He allowed you to go hungry to see whether you were going to obey Him or not. When the Israelites were fat and happy, they forgot about Yahweh. In John 16, it says there that even Yahshua had trials. So who are we when we commit sins worthy of death and we think that we should be able to get away with it? Not so fast. Not as long as Yahweh is Elohim, you're not going to get away with it. 1 Peter 4, it says there, don't be surprised when you suffer because Yahshua suffered unjustly. These things come with obedience. People making fun of us, that comes with obedience. I like to tell the story, you know. I was going to a Sunday church, you know. Coming home on Sunday. Kids around the block making fun of you. Ah, ha, ha, you went to church. Coming down the street. I have bags of groceries. Same kid. Oh, I'm hungry. Can I get some food? Ah, ha, ha, ha. Who's laughing now? You were making fun of me, right? And then now you want me to feed you. So, you have to feed them, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? That's what you do. You feed them. You made fun of me? Oh, well, didn't make fun of me after that. Nobody special. That's Yahweh's doing. He probably planned that to humble the person, you know? And last scripture I took from here, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, this is probably the best one, verse 1 and 2. Yahweh wants us to allow Him to work out problems that are out of our control. In verse 5 there says, fear not, for He is with us. There are situations in this life, you and I know better, we can't control it. Yahweh wants us to allow Him. Give Him a chance. Give Him a chance. He can do it. He can work out those situations. Certain situations, it doesn't matter how hard we try, you know. I mean, you can get violent with some people. I mean, you can get in their face and scream all day, and it's not going to work. Only Yahweh can do it. Getting back to some of these pictures you see there, you saw the sun, you saw the moon, you saw the stars, you see snow there. Guess what? The sun, the moon, the stars, they obey Yahweh. How does the sun come out? How does the moon come out? When the new moon comes out, they obey Yahweh. It's in the scriptures. Check it out. If He tells the sun to come out, it must come out. So how could we think that we don't have to obey Him? Who was created first? What were these things created for anyway? Right? So, my parting thoughts. As far as those who think we should coast into heaven without difficulties, we don't find that in the scriptures. And that's not an attack on any one person or any one belief, you know. But here's a nugget on the difference between joy and happiness. This subject had came up one time and it just caught my attention. You know, there's difference between joy and happiness. The Bible teaches that happiness is fleeting because it often depends on things outside of ourselves. Think about it. Somebody gave you a gift. Today you're happy, but tomorrow is on the shelf. Oh, I like this, but tomorrow, no, there's something better. But true joy is eternal because it is based on our relationship with Yahshua Messiah, which is itself an everlasting source of joy. Think about that scripture. Yahshua says, are you thirsty? Come to him. Think about it. When Yahshua says that you're not going to need anything outside of him, he's including Yahweh in that because he follows Yahweh. So what else are you going to need outside of Yahweh for joy, for contentment? That's why when we're content, you know, we're at peace. And also, we don't find happiness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, but we do find joy. Love, joy. Okay, there's no happiness there. The fruit of the Spirit, which is, I mean, something. You have to take something from that. May Yahweh be our source of peace as we strive to obey him the way his son Yahshua does. And hallelujah, and may Yahweh bless you. Thank you so much for your attention. Amen.